figure it out as we go on. Okay, top line of Yud Tes Amud Aleph. The Gemara asks, "V'tepikle dehavi leyom shenerag bo gedalia ben achikam." So Rashi says, top line, "Tepikle v'chulei I beis hamigdash havakayim." If the beis hamigdash, yeah. So Rashi says that I beis hamigdash havakayim. If the beis hamigdash was still around, bilav hachi have a yom tov dahini tzom gedalia. It would have been a yom tov of tzom gedalia v'koriach mana moadim tovim bizman habayis. Because as we said yesterday, that all four fast days, that they were only fast days when it wasn't shalom, but when there was shalom, meaning when the beis hamikdash was kaim, all those days were yamim tovim. So these days are, so that day during the beis hamikdash, tzom gedalia would have been a day of simcha. So what's the question though? We're saying something earlier. We had said that it would have been a Yom Tov even without that.
It's something about the Shem Hashem was not.
Oh, right, that point. Ah, okay, that took place on Gimel Tishrei. Yes. Oh, very good. Okay, yeah, exactly. The last price of yesterday's daf was. Then the third of Tishrei, that was the Yom Tov that they made about writing Shem Hashem on the documents. And then Chacham says, don't do that because I'm going to get a document that says Shem Hashem. I'm going to not need the document and throw it in the garbage. So they made a Yom Tov the fact that they said no longer should a person write Shem Hashem. So Gemara says, wait a second. Even without that idea of the document, there's a concept of Tzom Gedalia. Tzom Gedalia, Bizman HaMikdash, was a day of Simcha. So that's why it's a day you can't fast, because it's Tzom Gedalia, not because of the three-day, the fact that you couldn't write the Shem HaShem in the document anymore. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav, lo nitzicha ela lesor es shelafanov. So, no, the only difference is because if you have Tzom Gedalia, so third day of Tishrei, the day before it would be mutter to fast on, as we'll see in a second. But the day, if now we have a new reason to fast, not to fast, a new reason to celebrate on day three because of the documents, then even on day two, the day prior to it, would have an additional day of Yom Tov. Why? So Rashi said, look at Rashi, lo nitzicha.
Hold on, Tzom Gedalia was in the Tanit, in Megillat Tanit?
No, Tzom Gedalia is in Pesukim. So in Tanakh, so day three of Tishrei is going to be a Yom Tov during the Beis HaMikdash. And now
that's
later on...
on top of that, the days that are in the Tanit.
Exactly. So this happens to be, there's a, one of the days listed in Megillas Tainus is third day of Tishrei, because they said no longer writing Shem Hashem on the document.
Oh, and it happened to me Tzom Gedalia as well.
Yeah, so why have to have the day of the documents? You already have Tzom Gedalia that pre-exists. So Gemara says there's a difference, because Tzom Gedalia, since it's written in Divrei Kabbalah, it's in the Tanakh, you don't have to have the day before it also usher and fast days. Only when something is written in Megillas Tainus, which is only a din derabanan, you have to strengthen that day. So not only do we say day three is usher and fasting, but even day two, the day before, is also usher and fasting to strengthen all the days listed in Megillas Tainus.
Yeah.
Right, so Tzom Gedalia alone, we would have Rosh Hashanah as day one. Day two is a regular day, and day three is Tzom Gedalia. Comes along the Megillas Tainus and says day three is also a Yom Tov because of the whole documents. Once we establish day three is a Yom Tov, Mimela day two also becomes a fast day, a non-fast day, because everything in Megillas Tainus the day prior is also usher to fast.
And therefore?
So therefore that's why we added on, because again, if we had Megillas Tainus, if we had Tzom Gedalia alone, day two would be mutter to fast. When we wrote in Megillas Tainus, day three is also significant because you can't write Shem HaShem on documents anymore. That added also changed day two now. Now day two, because of Megillas Tainus, is also Aster Tefasan. That's what was added on by the Megillas Tainus, listing day three in Megillas Tainus. Okay, so let's look at Rashi just for a second. As I was reading, Lo Nitzicha, Rashi says, Lo Nitzicha hadahadar kavu b'Megillas Tainus. We didn't need to add a second day repeated over in Megillas Tainus. Al davar zeh, Ella, the only reason why we had to add day three of Tishrei, Ella le'eser esmal, to aser the day beforehand, namely Beis Tishrei, gam hu b'Tainus, which wasn't aser from Tzom Gedalia. Kedamrin lekameh, we'll see later on, hayomim ha'elu haksuvim b'Megillah heim u'lifneihem u'lachreihem aserim. All the days listed in Megillas Tainus, not only are the days themselves aser, but the days before and the days after are also aser. So Gemara says, wait a second here. So Gemara says, Shilafanov, three lines from the top, the day before Megillah, before Tzom Gedalia, is Beis Tishrei. Nami typically the Havi Le Yom Shalach Rosh Chodesh. It's the day after Rosh Chodesh. So it should be Usher because it's the day that follows Rosh Chodesh. It would have been Usher anyways. Again, but forgetting the new din, the new halach, Yom Tov created Megillas Tainus. Tzom Gedalia existed. So the day beforehand should be Usher because it follows Aleph Tishrei, which is Rosh Chodesh. And so right now we're assuming before, I guess, the existence of 2 days Rosh Hashanah. We're going all the way back.
We do the 30th and the 1st. This is the day after Rosh Hashanah.
No, we do the 1st and 2nd, right.
Tzom Gedalia is the day after Rosh Hashanah. Yeah.
Well, only for us, but it's always Gimel. For us, we've Aleph Beis Rosh Hashanah and Gimel right. Tzom Gedalia.
Right.
Also, they may have done day 30 and Aleph right. was Rosh Hashanah also at a certain time period.
Like
so, Beis was open. So says the Gemara, wait a second, Rosh Chodesh, the Gemara at this stage assumes Rosh Chodesh might be a din of Megillas Tainus. Rosh Chodesh is also listed in Megillas Tainus. So once Rosh Chodesh is listed in Megillas Tainus, so the day after Rosh Chodesh, namely Beis Tishrei, should be usher to fast. Even before they ever created a new day of the whole celebration about the documents. And to that, the Gemara responds, no, Rosh Chodesh is a deraisa. Don't think Rosh Chodesh is Megillas Tainus. Rosh Chodesh is written in the Torah. When it comes to deraisas, we don't have to strengthen it to add the day before and add the day afterwards that they're also aser and tainus. The Tanya, the Braisa teaches us, Hayomim ha'elu haksuvim b'megillas tainus, all the days listed in Megillas Tainus, like the third day of Tishrei, which is a celebration that you don't write Shem Hashem on documents anymore. Asurin bain lifneim bain lachrayim, you aser to fast the day before and the day after. Shabbosos v'yom and tovim, hey masurim, only those days themselves are asur, lifneim, ulachrim, mutarim, but the day before, the day after are mutter. Ma hefesh bein zelzeh, what's the difference between deraisas and Megillas Tainus? Halalu divrei Torah, vein divrei Torah tzrichin chizik. Shabbos and Yom Tov and al-Ad Rosh Chodesh is a divrei Torah. And divrei Torah doesn't need chizik, doesn't need to strengthen those days, because those days stand alone, are significant on its own, we know that. Halalu divrei sofrim, when it comes to Megillas Tainus, those are divrei sofrim, those are dinei derabanan only. The divrei sofrim tzrichim chizik, they require strengthening them up. So therefore, third day of Tishrei was added, not the day itself of third day of Tishrei, but really Beis and Dalet was what was added on into Megillas Tainus as a strengthening of day 3.
When it says Megillas Tainus, what does it refer exactly?
There's a whole document, they had a whole Megillah listed every single day that a certain celebration happened, a nace.
Nothing to do with the Gemara time.
Nothing to do at all.
And this Megillah was found when and where? Do we know or not?
Was
it written by whom? By
I don't know.
The Sanhedrin or what?
I'm not sure who wrote it. Uh-huh. Okay, there are a lot of things listed
and
during
we,
the...
We have that Megillah here?
I said yesterday, I think so. I think I once saw it in the YU library. I wanted to look something up. I think I came across it. I think it does exist. It's a small little pamphlet, what I remember. Okay, so again, what comes out from here is anything that's Divrei Torah does not require Chizik, only those days themselves are Asur and Tainus. Anything that's listed in Megillas Tainus, which is called Divrei Sofrim, is going to be Asur not only in the day itself, but the day before and the day afterwards. Now, the Shagas Ari brings a very interesting Raya here. There's a discussion, Machlokas Rishonim brought down in Shulchan Aruch, whether one's allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah or not. Some say you cannot. Some say you must, and some say you have the option. So he says that he brings a raya from here. What was the raya again? That's usher. He says, no, it's mutter that one cannot fast. Let's see. So it's clear from here that Rosh Chodesh is usher to fast on. Because Rosh Chodesh is one of the days that's listed, initially we thought it's one of the days that's listed in Megillas Tainus, and we thought the day after Rosh Chodesh is going to be Aser and Tainus also. You can only Aser the day afterwards if the day itself, Rosh Chodesh, is also going to be Aser and Tainus. So Rosh Hashanah, which itself is a Rosh Chodesh, we see it's Aser to fast. So how could the Gaonim say, no, it's a mitzvah to fast in Rosh Hashanah? Shagdari therefore proves from this Gemara that one may not fast in Rosh Hashanah. Now one could say, well, wait a second, Rosh Chodesh is different than Rosh Chodesh and Rosh Hashanah.
Rosh Chodesh was a new Yemei Mishtes, it used to do Mishtah on Rosh Chodesh.
Right, but now that you're Rosh Chodesh, which is combined, Rosh Hashanah is also Rosh Chodesh, but Rosh Hashanah on top of Rosh Chodesh, it's not that Rosh Hashanah is just like a super Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Hashanah is a Yontif. It happens to fall out of Rosh Chodesh. it's possible the halachas of Rosh Hashanah are going to override the smaller halachas of Rosh Chodesh. So therefore, Rosh Hashanah might dictate to us that one should, in fact, fast. So that might be a response to the Shagaz Ayer's Kasha. Very hot in here, by the way. Okay.
So you can fast on Rosh Hashanah?
There's a big machlokas. It actually comes up, l'maisa, a lot of davening, a lot of shuls have very long davening. So normally in Shabbos Yom Tov, you cannot fast past Chatzos. You're supposed to say Kiddush before Chatzos. That's the normal halacha. So Rosh Hashanah becomes a big issue. A lot of the yeshivas have very long davening. So some yeshivas have a stop in the middle, and they want to have Kiddush before before Chatzos, to be yotzei the shita that one may not fast.
Yeah,
but the problem is, though, you're not allowed to eat before hearing the shofar.
Right.
So it becomes very problematic. So some say, Rosh Hashanah is different since there are the opinions that you can fast. It's okay to miss chatzos.
I'm surprised because a lot of yeshivas eat before.
Yeah. It's a big discussion. I think Rav Henkin and Rav Aaron Cutler had a whole big discussion about this. Rav Aaron said all the yeshivas do it this way. They have a kiddush beforehand.
Yeah, and my kids always, the yeshivas my kids went. I don't know which ones were, but.
Right. So I think Rav Aaron said that's the minhag yeshivas, and Rav Henkin said, I don't care if minhag yeshivas, it's against the halacha.
I think that yeshiva.
Did you show me this? The Mishnah? There's a Mishnah that says, he wrote back, there's a Mishnah that says, I don't care if seven people tell you one thing. If they're wrong against the halacha, well, you don't listen to them. So he said, I don't care if all the yeshivas do this way, it's against the halacha. You can't eat before you hear the shofar.
The yeshiva gadola eats before.
They do, right. Yeah. Okay. So, says the Gemara now, where are we? Tepeglei, dava yom shelefne yom shenerag bo gedali ben achikam. Someone says, wait a second. Why don't you just say that this story of Gedalia wasn't in the Chumash, it's not Divrei Torah. So it should be usher the day beforehand. So forget the whole day of the documents that we said that no longer could you write Shem Hashem on documents. Before that existed. Tzom Gedalia, during the times of the Beis HaMikdash, was a Yom Tov. Day 3. So we should say, day 2, Beis Tishrei, should also be Aser, since it comes the day before Tzom Gedalia. Why do you need the fact that we create a new Yom Tov of the day you no longer write Shem Hashem? Tzom Gedalia itself would have dictated to us, and Beis Tishrei is Aser to fast. So the Gemara says, no, because since Tzom Gedalia is found in Amar Rav Ashi, Gedalia ben Achikam, Divrei Kabbalah. Divrei Kabbalah, it's in between Divrei Torah and in between Divrei Sofrim. There are three levels here. Divrei Torah is found in the Chumash. Divrei Sofrim is found, is all Dinei Chachamim. And Divrei Kabbalah is in the middle. So how do you categorize Divrei Kabbalah? Is it
Nach.
More... What?
Nach.
Exactly. Nach is all Divrei Kabbalah. So Divrei Kabbalah, says the Gemara, is Divrei Kabbalah ki Divrei Torah Damu. It's more similar to Divrei Torah. So just like Divrei Torah, lo bai chizik, doesn't require chizik. We don't have to aser the day before Shabbos and the day before Yom Tov. It stands alone. So to everything found in Divrei Kabbalah, for example, Tzom Gedalia does not require a chizik. And therefore, if we had Tzom Gedalia alone, Beis Tishrei would mutter be fast. The mutter to be fasting on. Only until we added the new day in Megillas Tainus do we say not only is Gimel Aser, but also Beis, and for that matter, Dalid, is Aser to fast on. Okay, so says the Gemara now. Further, Mesiv Rav Tuvi Bar Matana, or Bar Masna, Be'esim V'tamne Bey, the 28th of, which month is this referring to? Of Adar, Rashi says. 28th of Adar. As usas besurta tavasa, a besurta torah, and a nice, a good message, good news came. Lihuda, to the Jews, to lo ya'idin maraisa, that they no longer have to refrain from learning, meaning they can go back to learning Torah. Look at Rashi just to get the pshat in those words, taish the words, he says, lo ya'idin min araisa. Shelo yitztarchu linasek asma min haTorah. They did not have to remove themselves from the Torah anymore, they could engage themselves in learning again.
During the Yavanim.
Exactly. Shegazra yamalchus gzera. The Yevanim had the following three gzeros. Shul yasku b'Torah, they can't learn.
This is Rome.
Rome, is it?
Rome.
Okay. Yeah, you sure?
It says Harishah shel Romi.
Okay. Oh, yeah, okay, we'll see later on. Okay. So the Romans had a gzera. Shul yasku b'Torah, you can't learn. Shul yamulu es b'neim, they can't give a bris milah to their children. Shechalu shabbosos, they must, I'm not sure how they enforce this, but they have to be mechal shabbos. So Mat Asa Yehuda ben Shimon, what did he do? What was he able to do? V'chaverov, what did they do to try to uproot this gzera? So Halchu v'natlu eitzah mitrinasa achash kol gdolei Roma mitzuyin etzla. There's a wise woman who all the Gedolim of Rome would go seek her advice. So they wanted to also ask what she thought they should do to undo this gzeira. So Amru Lahem, she responds, Bo vifginu belayla. Go out, what's hifginu belayla mean, says Rashi? Hifginu tzaku bishukin urchavos. Go out into the courtyards, go out to the streets, and scream and cry. Kadesh yishmu hasarm v'yachmu aleichem. In order that they should, all the ministers and the governor should hear and have mercy. So halchu vifginu belayla. They did this, they went out at nighttime. And the Mefarshim say, why dafka at nighttime, why not during the daytime? So based on the Gemara and Yuma, if you remember, in the Meseches Tamid, that nighttime sound travels much further than during the daytime. I think it's true nowadays also.
That's movement.
What?
That's movement.
Movement.
Less movement.
Is that why? Because every
time the sound waves get stuck at something.
Is it because people are less active at night and there's less car? Why is that? Yeah. I know that's what happens, but is that the reason why?
You mean less, meaning that the waves,
the sound, the waves of the sound, has less interruption.
Because I'm saying less, less people moving, less cars driving.
Less movement, yeah.
Nothing
less
to
activity.
Do. Nothing to do with like night, sunlight.
No.
You sure?
1,000,000%.
Million. Okay. You're the scientist.
He's a scientist.
Yeah, he's a scientist.
No, I'm not.
He is. He creates all types of inventions. Okay. So they went ahead. They went outside and they screamed and yelled and davened. Amru, Yishamayim, and they said the following. The Jews said the following. Yishamayim, Rashi says, is Klomer Leman HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the sake of Hashem. Lo Achichem Anachnu, are we not the same brother, you and I, Rome? We came from the same, we're brothers. You came from Esav, and we came from Yitzchak. Lo Bnei Ava Echad, we're not from the same father. Velo Bnei Amachas Nach, are we not the same mother? So, Manishanenu Mikol Umavalashon, why are we any different than any other nation that you chose us to give us all these decrees? Shatem goes in Aleinu Gzeres Kashus Bitlam. And as a response, Bitlam, the Romans heard and they felt bad and they canceled out all these Gzeros. Vosa Yom, that very day, Asau Yom Tov, they made a Yom Tov as a celebration that they undid all these Gzeros. So the Gemara says, V'isak Adaitach Batlu Megillas Tainus. If you, now going back to yesterday's daf, if we were to say that they got rid of the Megillas Tainus, it no longer existed. So they got, not only, it doesn't make sense, they got rid of the Megillas Tainus, but now, again, Isak Gadatach Batla Megillas Tainus Kamaisa. They got rid of the initial Megillas Tainus, it no longer existed. Batla Achrinis and Mosifin, they're going to go ahead and now add on additional days to what they already nullified. So if they had the Megillas Tainus that it was still active, it makes sense to add on to that list. But if they cut it up, ripped it up, and threw it in the garbage, they're going to go ahead and now start a new Megillas Tainus? Doesn't make any sense to do that. So it sounds like from here that they were not Mevatel Megillas Tainus. The Gemara says, V'chi Tema, if you're going to say Hachanami, Bizman Beis HaMikdash HaKayim. No, this was during Bizman Beis HaMikdash. We said yesterday's daf, the only machlokes, whether it's batel or not, was after Bizman HaMikdash. But during Zman HaMikdash, everybody agreed that the Megillas Tainus was still intact. So maybe this whole event took place during Beis HaMikdash, where both parties think that the Megillas Tainus was still active. Whereas you can't say that, again, V'chi Tema HaChanami B'Zman Beis HaMikdash Kayim, it was during this time the Beis HaMikdash, V'ha Yehuda Ben Shmuel Tamidu Shere Rebbe Meir. He was a student of Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Meir Basar Hachi Havi, and he was after the times of the Beis HaMikdash. So we'll get to the mission in a second, how we see that. Just look at Rashi's for a little history. Rashi says, Rebbe Meir Basar Churban Haya. Rebbe Meir existed, he lived after the times of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Kamadoros, many generations, says Rashi. Dehob bimei Rebbe Yochanan Zakei Charev HaBayis. During Rebbe Yochanan's life, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Rebbe Eliezer Talmido Haya was a Talmud of Rebbe Yochanan Ben Zakei. Rebbe Kiva was a Talmido Shel Rebbe Eliezer. Kedamrinan Bishile Arba Mises, the end of the fourth parak, no, the end of, which I forget which number, parak of Sanhedrin. Rebbe Meir Talmido Shel Rebbe Kiva. That's referring to Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir learned by both Rabbi Shmuel and then he learned by Rabbi Kiva. If you remember the story, Rabbi Meir first learned by Rabbi Shmuel. First learned by Rabbi Kiva. And Rabbi Meir had no clue what Rabbi Kiva was talking about. So then he left and went to learn by Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel taught him all Mishnayos, so he memorized Mishnayos. After he knew all of those things about Peh, then he went back to Rabbi Kiva to learn all of the logic behind everything. So the Gemara says, Rebbe Meir is a student both of Rabbi Shmuel and of Rabbi Kiva. So we see during Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai's life is when it was destroyed. Several generations later was Rabbi Meir when he was living. So we see clearly Rabbi Meir lived after the times of the Beis HaMikdash. And Yehuda ben Shmua was a student of Rabbi Meir, so he certainly lived even further afterwards. So this whole discussion must be after the Beis HaMikdash. So it must be a riot then that Megillas Tainis is batal. I said it's not batal. It was not batal. It was still an active Megillah, and that's why they were able to add on additional Yamim Tovim. So now the Gemara is going to bring a proof. How do you know that that Yehuda ben Shmuel was a student of Rabbi Meir? How do we know that? So the Gemara quotes a mission, the last two lines, the Tanan. Kli Zekuchas Shenikvu. You have a glass kli that had a hole in it. And when there's a hole the size of a rimon, a hole the size of a pomegranate, the kli is no longer a functioning kli, and it's not tummy. So I have a glass kli, it was tummy. Somebody touched it. Well, not somebody really, probably a food or something, a mace touched this glass. This glass is not tummy. I drill a hole in it, which is the size of a pomegranate, it no longer has a function, it loses its status of a kli, and we made it, it's no longer considered tummy. I could use it whatever I want, because it really has no use, because it has a massive hole in it. Now what happens, says the Mishnah, is v'hittif l'tochan aver. You close up the hole using some aver. What exactly is aver, they say in English? Molten lead. Lead, okay, it's a type of metal. So some type of lead. You fill it up. So now, does that turn the glass back into a functioning kli, and does it get its tumah again? So Gemara says, the Mishnah really says, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Yehuda ben Shmua, Mitame Mishum Rabbi Meir. He was Mitame this Kli in the name of Rabbi Meir. So let's get some understanding. Let's look at Rashi for a second, just to get some understanding here. Look at the last Rashi in the page, Yehuda ben Shmua Mitame. He says when you fill it up with lead, it goes back to becoming Tame. Lomar. Shechazu l'tumasim yishana. It goes back to the initial Tuma. V'yafa pishalo nagu shuv b'tumah. Even though it didn't touch Tame, I had a glass Kli, it was Tame. I made a hole in it. I filled it up with lead. It becomes Tameh, but now that's a new Kli. Had to go from Tahor to Tameh without anybody ever touching it. We know the Klal is that if I were to fill it with glass, fill the hole with glass, it would not go back to the Tumah Yishana. It would not go back to the old Tumah. The special din by glass. This concept of having the Tumah return did not exist, was not go there by glass, only by metal. Since they use lead, which is a type of metal, of course, they use metal to fill in the hole, we consider this type of case more like metal as opposed to kli. Since the lead is what's putting it together, holding the glass together, we're viewing this as a metal kli, which does go back to the ultima, and we don't view it as a glass kli.
So if you take a glass kli and you put in metal, this is the case? This was a glass kli.
Okay. If I put glass back in it, so whatever it would be fine.
It, whatever fixes it becomes the...
Exactly. That tells us whether it's metal or not metal.
Even though that metal wasn't there when the thing was in the first
place. Yep. Yeah, this is I don't remember why, but that's one of the gzeros. If you remember the Gemara and Shabbos, the first packet, has a whole list of gzeros there. So these are one of the gzeros. This is talking about a different one, I think. This is not the same parak. Okay, this is a different parak. I don't remember why, but that's one of the gezeros. I guess they're probably concerned, if I remember, it's coming back to me a little bit, that they're concerned if someone got tame, they're going to just make a hole in it, make a tar, and fix it, and then they don't have to go to the mikvah at all. You completely circumvent the requirement to go to the mikvah. So they're concerned that would happen, so I guess they said, if you do that and fix it, it goes back to the initial tumah midirabanam.
Also, it's easier to go to the mikvah.
Probably right. Depends how handy you are. But yeah. It depends where your mikvah is.
And lid.
So I'm not sure. So glass is a funny case because glass is not really. It falls in the middle between klicheres because it comes from dirt, but it also has certain features that's like metal. So glass is somewhere in between in terms of categorizing as metal versus dirt.
But metal that wasn't there in the stage of tumor, you put brand new one, and you're saying the glass is now tower because of the hole.
Well, it's tower because of the hole, because it has no function anymore. It's no longer clear.
Yes, exactly. Then you made it a clear from adding a material that was not there in the stage of tumor.
Right, so that's only gzera, as I think. I think the gzera is there because the chum didn't want you to just, make a hole in your clear and fix it. because then you completely.
But what happens if you're fixing it with a glass? So that's the hole.
Right. So I guess you have to look at the Gemara then. Yeah. Okay. I hear. So, anyways, this is a complete side point about Tumah V'Tahara, but that's just to prove to us that Yehuda ben Shemua was really the Talmud of Rabbi Meir. Now, just continuing the Mishnah, the next page on top, the Gemara says Chacham Mitarin, that the Chacham say in this very case, even though you might use metal to close up the glass, we're going to say it's going to be considered Tahor, Tahor fine. And Rashi just says, because the Ikaro cleads the Chukasi, because Be'etim, really, the Iker, it's a glass. Velo Azli Basa HaMaimid, you do not go after the Maimid. And therefore, we view this as a glass kli, and the din of Tuma Yishana does not apply to a glass kli. So, in the end of the day, we see from all this, though, that it sounds like the previous Brisa, that Megillas Taina was not Batal. It still existed, and that's why they added on that new day, that new Yom Tov, where they were ochre, they uprooted the gezeros of the Romans, they made a whole celebration. Even though it was after the times of the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, they still had a celebration. They were adding on to the Megillas Taina, so Megillas Taina was not Batal. So, Gemara says,
How do we know that Rabbi David Shamua was
He said this last line. He said in the name of Rabbi Meir. The very last line, you see, of the previous page, Yehuda ben Shmuel mitame mishum in the name of Rabbi Meir.
And then what?
So that's just a side point to prove to us that Yehuda ben Shmuel was a Talmud of Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir we know from Rashi, Rabbi Meir was way after the times of the Churban Beis Hamikdash. So even after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, they still had an active Megillas Tainus. The fact they were adding to the list told us there's an active Megillas Tainus. So this proves it was active, it wasn't Batal. So now the Gemara says, top line of Yotesim Rebeis, really, in fact, it's a Tanaihi, it's a Machokas Tanaim. Before, on yesterday's daf, we had a Machokas Amaroim, was Rabbi Yochanan. What is the Machokas? Yeah. It's whether or not the Megillas Tainus was Batal or not Batal. Yesterday's daf, we had a machlokas amarom, which came afterwards. The Gemara says it's actually a much earlier machlokas that's found in the Tanaim, whether Megillas Tainus was batal or not batal. The Tanya, the Brisa says, Hayomim ha'elu, these days, ha'ksuv Megillas Tainus, that are listed in Megillas Tainus, based on Megillash Kaim, bein bizman she'ein, based on Megillash Kaim, asurum, divir, remeir, held that it always exists. These Megillas Tainus, all the days listed, are always going to be asur, whether or not based on Megillash is built or not. Rabbi Yossi comes along and Omer Bizman Sheh Beis HaMikdash Kayim Asurin Mipnei Sheh Simcha Hilem, because during this Zman HaMikdash it's a Simcha these days, so therefore you cannot fast on them. However, Ein Beis HaMikdash Kayim Mutar Mipnei Sheh Eva Hulem, because Eva Hulem it becomes a day of Avelis. Hilchasa, what's the Halacha? Batlu Hilchasa La Batlu. Halacha is Batlu, Halacha is not Batlu. Gemara says, Kasha, Hilchasa, Hilchasa. You just told me two Halachas which contradict each other. Gemara says, Lo Kasha, Kan V'chanako Purim, when it comes to Chanukah and Purim, those are not batal. They still, even though Megillah and Purim, well, Purim is a little bit differently, but because it's really listed in Divrei Kabbalah, it's Megillas Esther. But without getting to that question right now, Chanukah and Purim are Megillas Tainuses, which are not batal. Those are still alive and well. All the other days listed in Megillas Tainus are not going to be so that's when it says Hilchsa Batlu, that refers to all the other days of Megillas Tainus. It no longer exists. Hilchsa Lo Batlu refers to Purim and Yom Tov, which are not Batlu, Purim and Chanukah rather, those are still active holidays. Okay. So the question that we show them deal with here, still have some time here. So, if Purim is a day of Megillas Tainus, that's a Yontif that's listed in Megillas Tainus, so the day before Purim is Yudala, the day before is Yud Gimel, should be Asur on a fast day.
That's part of Purim, I guess.
So some say that's part of Purim, some say because the only fast day that was Asur is really a Tainus of Tsar, a Tainus of Avelis. Tainus Esther is really a Tainus of Simcha, says the Rabbeinu Tam. Because it's really remembering what had happened. So just as part of the remembering the Zeichel Nes, that's how it was established, and not a Tainus of Tsar. Okay, now this question, this answer I don't get so much. The Baal Mor writes, because Purim is really Divrei Kabbalah. In Divrei Kabbalah, Ein Tzrichim Chizek, therefore you don't have to, you're allowed to fast the day before him. But if it's Divrei Kabbalah, so then why is it listed as a Megillas Tainis? So I'm not sure the answer to that. Okay. Says the Gemara further now. Two dots. Al Elul Mipnei Rosh Hashanah, Val Tishrei Mipnei Takanas HaMa'adah. So we learned in the Mishnah yesterday that the Shluchim would be sent out to tell for Elul, when Elul was the Rosh Chodesh Elul, to know when to make Rosh Hashanah, and it was also sent out again on Tishrei to know when Sukkot is going to be. So Gemara says, well, Kevin Denafke Lehu Al Elul, A Tishrei Lamalu. So once they went out and told you when Elul was going to start, so why do you have to send out again on Tishrei? You know when Aleph Elul is, you could calculate when it's going to be Aleph Tishrei. Why? Because v'chi tema dilma avru le'elul, if you're going to tell me, because, oh, you have to still know, because they might make Elul into a 30-day month and not a 29-day month, well, we know, v'ham rebi chenna barkana, ham rav, or rebi, miyamos Ezra ve'elech, from the times of Ezra and on, lo matzinu Elul me'ubar. We never find that Elul was Mugur, was a 30-day month. It was always 29 days. So once you know Aleph Elul is, let's say, on Sunday, you could do the calculations to figure out 29 days later, the month is over, and the 30th day is going to be Rosh Hashanah, Aleph Tishrei. So there's no need for anyone to be sent out to tell me when Aleph Tishrei is going to be. So why send out for Aleph Tishrei? So the Gemara says, you're right, lo matzinu lo itzrich. We never found that there was a need to add a 30th day. But if there is a need, which there might be a need, even though there never was, but there might be a need, we would be allowed to. We're not saying it's usher to make a 30-day Elul. We're just saying that it never happened because there was never a need to. But there might be one time that there is a need to add a 30th day in Elul. Now these days, why would you have to add a 30th day onto Elul?
In those days. It's an addition for that Mamarim shouldn't fall on certain days.
Exactly. So the Gemara tomorrow is going to tell us why you don't want there to be a back-to-back Shabbos Yom Tov. The Gemara is going to tell us. You don't want Yom Tov to fall out on a Sunday or on a Friday. So if the calculations worked out that way, you could add a 30th day in order to push it off. I remember in my great innocence, my Shana Aleph of when I learned in Hakotel, so we were learning Ksubis in the beginning of the year. I was learning with my Shana Bet Chavrusa Ksubis, and there was a question about when Yom Kippur falls out. And they said, oh, if it turns out, I forget exactly the Gemara now. So the Gemara said, just change the day of Yom Kippur. I said, I don't understand how could you change the day of Yom Kippur. It's the 10th of Tishrei. I memorized when all the Yom Tovim. You know, Tesvav Tishrei is Sukkot, and Tesvav Nisan is Pesach. How could you change that Tes Tishrei? So he asked Rav Nevinson, I said, what do you mean? You just change the day of the month. You just make Rosh Hashanah a day later, make it a 30-day Elul, and then everything gets pushed off one more day, and it's still 10th of Tishrei. It's just that everything starts a day later. So there are certain instances where you might need to change the day of Rosh Hashanah.
Because Yom Kippur, there was the case of Yom Kippur that Shabbos falls afterwards, right? That they had to eat the korban roll, right?
I think it was talking about shechting. There's a concern that you might shecht on Shabbos to prepare for Yom Kippur or something like that.
But the case that we learned that there was Kohanim who used to eat meat raw because I think that the last korban of Shabbos, if Yom Kippur is or other way around, that you couldn't really burn it. You had to eat it. You couldn't put it on the mizbeach. You had to eat it raw.
I'm trying to remember. Yeah.
I think we learned it last year.
We spoke. There's a mission in Menachos that talks about the Bavlonim. They used to call them or the Alexandrium. They used to eat it raw. I think.
I think there's one case where you had to eat it raw. I don't remember which one it was. Okay. We don't have so much time.
Okay. Fine. So says the Gemara further now. Where are we now? Ha'itzrich ma'avrin ale. If there was a need, so then they would be ma'avr the month and add a 30th day. So Gemara says, ha'makalka Rosh Hashanah. But what's going to happen is Rosh Hashanah is going to get ruined. If these people in the Gola who don't know when Rosh Hashanah is going to, if they know every single Elul is 29 days and day 30 is going to be Rosh Hashanah, then everything's fine. But now they're not sure when Rosh Hashanah is going to be. So it might be day 30, might be day 31. So what's going to happen? So isn't it better for us to tell them, just make a rule that always day 30 will be Rosh Hashanah. This way they always keep Rosh Hashanah one day. They won't have an issue. Why tell them there's a suffix? It never happened. Tell them the suffix, keep 2 days, day 30 and day 31. Doesn't that mess up Rosh Hashanah for these people? The Gemara says, Mutav tekalka Rosh Hashanah, v'lo yiskalka l'kula mo'ados. It's better that their Rosh Hashanah gets messed up than all the other Yom Tovim. So yes, we'd rather them have a suffix in their mind when Rosh Hashanah is going to fall out, in order to have the proper days for Yom Kippur and for Sukkot. So better have one ruin than all the other days being ruined. It'd be much easier. So Gemara says, since it always happened that Elul was only 29 days, that means the 30th day is going to be really Aleph Tishrei. Okay. So why not just say, make a rule. Every Elul will be 29 days, and you and I who live far away from Eretz Yisrael will know that the 30th day is going to be Tishrei. We'll have a nice Rosh Hashanah. But now they're not telling us that rule. They're saying there's always a possibility that Elul might be a 30-day month. So that, what does that mean to me? It means to me and you that we have to keep 2 days Rosh Hashanah because we're not sure when they're going to make the new month or not. So,
and the 2 days, that's where it starts.
Part of it, yeah. Because you have to know when the Edom come and when the new moon is. So you and I have to keep 2 days, and we're not really sure which is the right Rosh Hashanah.
2 days were because of the Kalkela Ashir Shalalevim, right?
And they couldn't accept the Edom.
Right.
So, right. That's why it's in Eretz Yisrael, even. For us, right. In Chutzart, even before that.
Right.
Even Eretz Yisrael. Right. So you and I, so make life easier for us. Keep 1 day, and we'll know it's always a 29-day month. The Gemara says, no, you know, it's better for you and I to keep a Rosh Hashanah that's a Suffolk, so that we have the proper days for Yom Kippur and Sukkot.
But if you have it always on the 30th day, so Sukkot and Yom Kippur will be all
no, because,
days,
as I said before, there's sometimes needs. Because what happens is you have Sukkot, if Shabbos and Yom Kippur fall out next to each other, then they're going to be, we'll see tomorrow's Naf, there are reasons why to push it off. It's going to ruin the Yom Kippur. One of the reasons are because you have to take vegetables. You want to eat vegetables for Yom Kippur. They didn't have refrigerators, so they had a Shabbos and a Yom Kippur on Sunday. They have to pick all the vegetables on Friday, and by the time Sunday comes, everything gets ruined. That's not Simchas Yom Tov. So rather us have a 2-day Rosh Hashanah to have a nice, pleasant Yom Kippur, or really a Sukkot, without having any issues. That's what the Gemara says. So again, the Gemara says, Mutav til kalk Rosh Hashanah below yiskalkulu kula ma'ados. Dekanami, we can also bring a diak here, dekasani. Al Tishrei mipnei takanos ha-mo'ados shma'amina. The reason for Tishrei was so we have a good, well-established, and enjoyable mo'ados. All the mo'ados become fixed up. Okay. Two dots. The Gemara says, Al Kislev mipnei ha-chanakov, al Adar mipnei ha-purim. That's why we send down a Kislev, that's why we send down an Adar. The Ilan is Abra Hashana. Let's say becomes a leap year. We have an extra Adar now. Yotzin afal Adar sheni mipnei ha-purim lo katani. It doesn't say we should send it out. So let's say they're having a Adar, and they celebrate Adar, and then they have Purim. And then after Purim, they say, you know what? We realize that the spring seems to be a little bit off. It's not coming yet. Let's push off, let's add another Adar Sheni. So Nisan ends up being more of the spring season. So what happens is, so shouldn't you have to send out Edim for this new Adar to tell people when to celebrate Purim in the second month now? So Gemara says, it doesn't say that. So why not? So it must be.
So the first time was just to tell them that is in the Uber and that there is no.
The first time they had a regular Adar. They didn't know. They didn't have calculations and then.
No, what I'm going to say is the question is why they don't send the second time is because the first time in this case they sent to say that it's in the Uber and there is no.
No, no Uber. First one.
No, the first one was Purim. They kept Adar. They had Purim. They celebrated Purim Yud Aleph Tesvav.
And then they realized that summer doesn't come.
Right. Yud Ches Adar comes. Now, wait a second. It's a little bit late. The snow is still coming down.
Okay.
I think we have to push off Pesach. They add a new Adar. Adar Sheni. So, for us, we keep Adar Sheni. All the Purim and Megillah and Matanos Levyonim take place Adar Sheni.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So they had the first time they sent, they just had to send people to tell them that it's not Purim.
No, they never sent anybody out yet. No one was sent out.
So how did they know they were sending Uber?
They didn't. No. So nothing was sent out right now. They say the Mishnah does not say you have to send anybody out.
Okay.
So that means you and I, we're now in Adar Sheni, and no one told us. We think it's Pesach. You have to still tell somebody, I guess they think it's Pesach. I guess you have to send somebody out.
So for the Gemara, it's okay that you should do Pesach on Adar Rishon?
Oh, so that's what Gemara's about to address that point. The Gemara is going to address that point.
Okay, because otherwise,
right.
Okay,
I guess what's going to happen is, let's say we're right now in Adar Sheni, man. We don't know it's Adar Sheni yet. They didn't tell us, so we think it's Nisan.
Also, we learned a few weeks ago. What's the limit to remember Hashanah?
What's the limit?
Yeah. Just
what do you mean the limit?
The date.
The date. Was the last day you could do it?
Yeah.
You could only do it in Adar. Day 30 is really the last day. It only works. But the Eved Chizkiya HaMelech did it once in day 30. Because
right.
Since day 30 it has the potential to really be Aleph Nisan, you're no longer. Once you're Nisan, you're certainly not allowed to do it anymore. day 30, since it's possible to become Nisan, you can't do it in day 30, but if you did it, it worked.
So they were able to do Me'avar Hashana after Purim.
Yes. As long as day 30 didn't come, l'chachila, you could still change it. So they added a new Adar Sheni. So you and I, the Mishnah doesn't say, send out Shluchim, let us know, it's Adar Sheni now, we have to read the Purim Megillah again. No one tells us that. So the fact that the Mishnah does not mention it, what you were saying, Ricky, that it sounds like all the halachas of Purim took place in Adar Rishon, which worked, which were your Yotzei, which is against what we hold. So that's what the Gemara picks up on. The Gemara says, our Masnisin, which doesn't mention Adar Sheni, you have to have Shluchim, the Lok Rebbe, it's not like Rebbe. The Tana, the Brisa teaches us that Rebbe Yomer, Imnis Abra Shana, Yotzin Al Af Afal Adar Sheni. That if the leap year, a second month is added, you have to send that Shluchim also in Adar Sheni, so we do the mitzvahs during Adar Sheni. Mipnei Purim. So our mission is not like Rebbe, because our mission, again, does not mention a need to send that Shluchim for Adar Sheni. So Leimi Bahok Kamifikli, maybe they're arguing about the very following Machlokas. Demar Savar Kol Mitzvah Sehanogis B'Sheni Nogis B'Rishon. Any mitzvah that's done in Sheni can also be Noeg in Rishon. And that's our Mishnah. Since you did all the mitzvahs during Rishon, you're Yotze already. Umar Savar and Rebbe held Kol Mitzvah Sehanogis B'Sheni Ein Nohagos B'Rishon. Nope. Anything that's done during Rishon does not work. You have to redo them during Sheni. And for that reason, Rebbe says you have to send that Shluchim even during Adar Sheni to repeat the mitzvahs. And our Mishnah again held that no, if you did it during Rishon, you're Yotze. Says the Gemara, lo, not true. The Chuli Alma mitzvahs hanogos b'sheni ain nohagos b'rishon. Everybody agrees, you were not Yotze during Rishon. So why our Mishnah then should have to send out Shluchim to tell us it's Adar Sheni, redo the mitzvahs? Why doesn't our Mishnah say that? So Hacha b'ibur shana k'mifki, they're arguing about the following. The Tanya, kama ibur shana, how long is an ibur shana? Shloshim yom, according to the Tanya kama, 30 days always. And Rabban Shimon Megamliel Omer, chodesh, it's always a chodesh. So initially the Gemara thinks Chodesh refers to 29 days, because it's typically a month, a lunar month, is 29 and a half days. So when we say Chodesh, it means 29 days. So Gemara says, so Maishna Shloshim, so okay, what's the Machlokas right now? So according to Rebbe,
what did you say about 29 days?
When the Machlokas, how long is an Ibur Shana, when we add a month, how many days is it? So Tanakama held it was 30 days. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says a Chodesh. And at this point, we're assuming a Chodesh means 29 days. Because a typical lunar month is 29 and a half days. So we say a Chodesh, we mean 29 days. You can't do 29 and a half days. We just assume 29 days. So Machlokes is a lunar, an added month, 29 days, or is it 30 days? So what's the Machlokes here? So before we go explain the Chlokes.
So what I'm saying is that the Tanakama in our Mishnah holds that other Rishon is on a fixed amount of days, 30 days. And therefore you don't need the Shlichim to go on the Tchilat of Adar Sheni, because everybody knows that
it's always going to be 29 days.
It's always going to be 30 days.
30 days, right.
And that Rosh Chodesh will be on the 31st.
Right.
But then the question is, how do people know that it was a Shana?
Right, I was saying that also. You asked me that before. How do they know that? How do they know that?
It tells us that when nobody comes to say when Rosh Chodesh Nisan was, and they figure, oh, I guess it's not Rosh Chodesh Nisan.
Uh-huh.
But that it's out of shame, and they go from there.
Okay, they just, the fact that it's been a couple of weeks and it showed up, must be, it's not Pesach.
So someone comes for Nisan, right?
Yeah, someone comes for Nisan, yeah.
Say, well, the river is overflowing and they couldn't, the messenger couldn't cross.
Ah, so that's what Tosas Masnisen says. I'm not sure if you have time for that, but that's what Tosas says, right. Dibur Maskel Masnisen, if nobody showed up, but you look at the last few lines of Tosas, V'yesh Lomar, of that Tosas, V'yesh Lomar, Kevin de Shluchin Yotzin al Nisan, Mimela Yadu, Kshegir Rosh Chodesh, V'ein Shluchin Yotzin, Imkein Hashan Mubaris. Nobody is sent out. So what happens, however, let's say you're all the way out in Bavel. So it didn't take 2 weeks. No one came to you in 2 weeks. You have to keep 2 days of Pesach because you didn't know. They didn't get to you. So what happens? Tesvav Nisan comes. You know, no one ever comes to tell you. So what do you do? Tesvav, you assume Tesvav Nisan just because nobody came. You know, you see what I'm saying? So they're kind of stuck. If you live far away, more than 2 weeks away, you
right,
never find out.
You never, and then you did Pesach on the wrong day.
Yeah. I don't know. Okay.
Don't live that far away.
I guess. Yeah.
It's not Pesach Sheni, it's your Pesach Sheni.
Right, Pesach Sheni early. Okay, so this says the Gemara. Today's what? Today's Tuesday.
It's Tuesday.
Yeah, Tuesday. Yeah, we have stuff. Yeah, plenty of time. All right.
Forget it.
Okay. Memorial Day throws us off.
Yeah.
Okay. So now the Gemara says, so Maishna, we're continuing the Brisa. Maishna Shloshim Diyadu, Chodesh Nam Yadu. I don't understand. 30 days they knew a leap year was always 30 days. So Chodesh also, everyone knows, 29 days. If you pass like Rashbag, Gemara says, Amar Papa, Mand Amar Chodesh, Ratza Shloshim. When Rashbag said a month, he meant a month could sometimes be 29 days, sometimes it could be 30 days. So again, now going back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah held that every single Ibra Shana is 30 days. So we know, once no Shluchim came out, we know they must have made a leap year, and we have 30 days of Ad HaSheni, no need to have sent messengers out. Rebbe, in the Brisa brought in the Gemara, thought, like Rashbag, that it could be sometimes 29 days, sometimes it could be 30 days. So even Ad HaSheni, you need to send Shluchim out to tell you how many days is Ad HaSheni going to be, to then be able to calculate when, I guess, Nisan will be, Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Okay, Gemara says further, Heyid Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi made the following testimony. Mishum Kahal Kadisha de Yerushalayim, in the name of the Kahal Kadisha, the holy congregation of Yerushalayim, which gets quoted a few times in Shas. Sometimes you have Nikia Das Yerushalayim, you have different like languages of the various people who lived in Yerushalayim. So Kahal Kadisha de Yerushalayim, Al Shnei Adarim, Shemekadshin Osam, Biyom Iburen, that the two Adars were both Mekadish, that on the day of the Ibur, on the 30th day, which means they're both 29 days. That's what was the testimony that he made. Lememra, the chasirin avdinan, milein lo avdinan. Is this to say that we always make two missing months, meaning 29-day months, and we don't make full months, we don't make 30-day months for Adar. Lafuke, this is coming to exclude midarish Rav Nachman Bar Chasda. He would say, hey, he had a different testimony. Rabbi Simai, Mishim Chagai Zechariah Malachi, Al Shnei Adarim, Shim Ratzu Lasozun, Shneim Meleim, Osin. You can make them both 30-day months. Shneim Chaserin, both them 29-day months. Osin Echad, Malay Echad, Chaser, Osin. Anything you want, any combination you want, you could do. V'kacha Yunogin, Bigol, and that's how they would do it in the exile. U'mishim Rabbeinu, Amru, Liolum Echad, Malay Echad, Chaser. And he said, one has to be 29, Ad sheyivdalacha shuk for Rosh Chodesh bizmano. Until you know that.
The first one was always 30.
The first one was always 30?
Yeah. And chaser was always the second one. Until somebody came on the second day and said that it's. And unless somebody came and said that other Rishon is only 29.
Wait, so is in the Gola?
But the Me'abayimer Tzoshah Hugvar Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheini Bizmano Dehainu Beyom Hashloshim De'adar Rishon Shehuzmano Arroyd Adar
Yashon. I see, in the Gola they'd always do 30-day and 29 days until they heard word from Eretz Yisrael that something had changed.
Unless they heard word that Adar Rishon is 29.
Okay, so this is a big machlok is exactly how the Adars were done. Were they always both chaseros, or was there any combination you wanted? Okay, let's go a little bit further. I guess we go into the next stuff a little bit. Okay, so it says the Gemara, Shalchu le Mar Ukva. They send out to Mar Ukva, Adar samach le Nisan le Ilm chaser. Adar, which precedes Nisan, is always going to be 29 days. So Mesiv Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman asks Al Shnei Chadashim, Mechal and Shabbos. There are 2 months. You always Mechal Shabbos Al Nisan Val Tishrei. These 2 months. So Gemara says, Iyam Rasbishlma Zmanim Malei Zimun Chaser. If sometimes the other will be 29 days, sometimes it'll be 30 days. Mishum Hachim Mechal Lidan. Then I understand why you're Mechal the Shabbos, because you have to know when to make Pesach. So you have to send out for Nisan. But Ela Iyam Rasliolm Chaser. If we're going to say.
They can actually go to Shabbos or what?
Yeah, they go on Shabbos to get as
because
far as possible. Shabbos. Exactly.
Because it's a Rabbanan, and then Rabbanan can be, it's a Takana.
Right. It's only Tchum Shabbos. I assume there's no other issues going on here. Let's see.
Okay.
You're riding horses also, I guess. It probably has to get that too. Would also be an Isser Derabanan. So that's why, because it could sometimes be 29 days, sometimes it could be 30 days. But Ella, Iyamris, Liolim Chaser, if we're going to suggest that, there's always 29 days, so my Mechalim, why to be Mechalilim? If we know that Adar took place 29 days ago, and you send out messengers for the entire month of Adar, you have 6 weeks to get word out. Because again, once Aleph Adar is established, we know exactly when Pesach is going to be. You have 6 weeks. So you have plenty of time to get word out to everybody. There's no reason to have to ever go on Shabbos. So why would you say Shabbos? So it must be that Adar is not always going to be 29 days. Sometimes it will be 30 days. And for that reason, everybody wants Pesach, and therefore we allow you to go on Shabbos. And why says no? Because we Mechal Shabbos, Mishum de Mitzvah, L'Kadesh Al Hariyah. There's a special mitzvah. Rashi says, Al Hariyah, Al Pi'edim. You're supposed to see it. There is a mitzvah deraisa, kiyum deraisa, that you're mekadesh based on seeing the moon.
That's why only twice a year.
Why only twice a year to be mechal Shabbos, I guess. So I guess the point is that even though I guess, wait a second, even though it's always chaser, you're supposed to still see the moon. You don't just say based on calculations. You still have to see the moon and still get word out. Well, how could they say that, though, if it's all based on Ri'ya? How could you always make it 29 days?
Okay, you have homework.
See you tomorrow
later.
Tough off. So.
Okay, stay tuned. Okay. Fine. I guess we'll stop. I guess we'll stop here. This is Ika Damri here. I'll stop here. Okay.
We have an opinion from Shuban Levi and Mishum Kalakadisha that the two others are always chaser.
Mm-hmm.
So. The statement of Marukva to say that other Samach Lenisan is Lomum Chaser is not such a bold statement if he's relying on the Tana of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. The Gemara then asks on him from a Mishnah, or I'm not sure if it was a Mishnah, Rav Nachman asks on him, but according to the Tana, he can rely on Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Mishum Kala Kadisha Bushalayim is a Tana, I would think. Is it Tana?
He's a Tana. So he could rely on that, and therefore what?
That it's all above. He's saying Lolom Chaser. I mean, that opinion says it's always, both others are always Chaser.
I see, Rav Nachman asked this Kasha on him.
He asked it on Maruk, he said something revolutionary.
Right, but I think the question more is, I hear.
I mean, he must not be, he's going like him, because, although, what's he being Mechadish? He's not being Mechadish anything. He's just repeating what that Tana says, that Marukva wouldn't be Mechadesh anything.
Right, it sounds like, right, because Marukva says, he still acknowledges that the first Adar could still be a 30-day Adar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, Shkoyach. Welcome back, everybody.